Psalms 92. While they're taking up the offering, we'll go ahead and read our text verse in Psalms 92 and try to get into the lesson for today. Psalms 92, verse number 1, the Bible said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless us today and give us wisdom of thought, wisdom of word. God, I pray that we would take heed to the things that we hear. God, that you would give me what I need, Lord. Touch me physically, Lord. I pray you'd give me divine direction, God, to be able to cover the things you'd have me to cover. God, that you would help your people. May we all leave different from this service. Lord, not leaving the way that we came in, but Lord, walking in truth. Lord, give us light to walk in today. May we walk in it and fulfill your word. Your name I pray, amen. We've been teaching for the last several weeks, and I'll let them finish up the offering while I go through some introduction. We've been teaching on the subject of the ministry of music. And we have looked at several different things. We looked at the definition of what music is and what it is by way of an English definition, the combination of rhythm and melody of which harmonious sounds and words can be added. We've talked about several different things. We looked the first Sunday at the purpose of music. What is the purpose of music? We know that the purpose of music, according to the Word of God, is praise, that it's praise unto God. We talked about the priority of music and how important music is and how that many times that music in itself, when it's done properly, would precede the presence of God moving into the house of God. We have looked at the place of music and that on the second Sunday as well. We talked about different things in regard to where music can be sung and where is it is in order. The power of music last Sunday. Talked about how that music affects your spirit, how that music does affects your soul. Music affects the body, soul, and spirit. The rhythm, the melody, and the lyrics of music, and all of those work together and affect a part of the makeup in which God has made you. Talked about the playing of music. We talked about instruments and all of those things that are used in the Word of God. We talked about the practicing of music. We mentioned skillful music, and I said last Sunday, and I'll say again, that these people in the Word of God that were used to lead worship and lead music, that they did not, or they were chosen as a result of the talents that they had developed. They did not start developing their talents because they were chosen, but they were chosen because they had developed their talents. And that's the way it works. You make yourself ready and available, and God will use you. God doesn't say, "I'm going to use you," and then you decide to make yourself ready and available. Then we talked about systematic music and how that music has been made into nothing more than choreography, and how that men have laid out an art of music, if you will, and brought it into the house of God, and it has no place there. Today I want to talk to you about two things. We're going to look very quickly at the presentation of music, and then we're going to talk about the problems of music. And I want you to listen to what is said today and pay attention. And I'll try to get through it without coughing. I've been coughing for several weeks, and so you pray for me that I can get through this. But I want you to listen to a few things that I want to give you out of the Word of God about the presentation of music and about the problems associated with music. Now, let me say that you may very well not agree with what I'm saying, and that I'm okay with you not agreeing with me, but if I'm in the Word of God, it has nothing to do with me. It's God that you're disagreeing with. So understand that I don't have a problem with you. You don't have a problem with me. It's God that we're dealing with here. If you got a problem, you'll have to take it up with Him as long as I'm in the Word of God. The presentation of music. Let me say that music should be presented in a spiritual manner. Music should always be presented in the house of God in a spiritual manner. Now, that spiritual manner includes your spirit and God's spirit. You cannot separate the two when it comes to music. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and this is lowercase s, this is speaking of man's spirit, man's attitude, man's emotion. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, man's spirit, lowercase s, and I will sing with understanding also. One man put it this way, that the heart should be engaged in singing in such a way that it excites the proper affection in the life of the hearers. So when you think about this, singing, when it is done with the right spirit, in man's spirit involved and God's spirit involved, then singing in itself should stir the emotions of man and the intellect of man. It should reach into both. So singing, when it is done properly, songs, they need to be heard clearly, they need to be sang clearly, and they need to be understood. When a song is presented in the house of God and it is not presented in a proper way and it's not understood or heard properly and clearly, it loses its value. And some of you young people, why wonder that we are so adamant that you speak your words clearly, that people clearly understand what you're saying. This is where your spirit, your attitude, and your emotion is involved in the presentation of music. And when people cannot understand what you're saying and they do not understand clearly the words that are being said, then that song will lose its value in the spirit of worship that it's to be given in. So songs that are presented in a way that they're not understood lose their value. And let me say this, that songs that are presented in a non-emotional way can also lose their value. I'm in the Bible now. We're talking about man's spirit and God's spirit are both involved in the presentation of singing and music. And whenever a song is presented that's not clearly understood, it loses its value. And when a song is presented in a non-emotional way that people see nothing of your spirit involved in the song, it will lose its value because people do not want to hear what you're singing if you cannot present it in such a way that it excites. If it doesn't excite you and do anything for you, it's not going to do anything for them. Amen. So the presenter should be scriptural and spiritual. Their spirit is involved and God's spirit is involved. In Ephesians chapter number 5, he is speaking of being filled with the Spirit. And as soon as he gets done talking about being filled with the Spirit, he shows forth the things that are attributes of being filled with the Spirit. And one is singing to yourselves, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So your spirit is involved in the presentation of music and God's spirit is involved through the presentation of music. God can be presented to the hearer through music. Now the emphasis of this church is put upon preaching, but God can be presented to the hearer through music. That's why it's important that you speak clearly, that you have a song before you sing a song, and that you are led by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, so that when you present, you reach the emotion, the intellect, the spirit, and the heart of man, and you do in their heart what God is doing in your heart through the song in which you're singing. Enough said about that. The presentation of music. Let me say that music, at some point, gospel music has become entertainment. Music, spiritual music, is not an industry. Now, music in our day and time is an industry. Gospel music has become an industry. And it didn't start in the last 15 years. It started back in the 20s and 30s when men began to promote music as an industry and it became nothing more than entertainment. Now, I not stand up here and say that many of the people involved in the music industry have never had an encounter with God, for I've heard some of them talk and I've heard their testimony, and I know that they have known something about God through their life, but they have got caught up in an industry and entertainment, and that is what music has become. Music has become entertainment. Spiritual music is not an industry. Let me say about the problems of music this morning. That there is a singular, there is a right kind of music, and there are many wrong kinds of music. There's not many right kinds, and there is a right kind, and there are many wrong kinds. Now, turn to Psalms 119 for me real quick. Psalms 119, a real familiar verse. Look at verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, what most people think I'm going to say is, when I talk about the problems of music, if you really love the Bible, then you're not going to get offended with what I say. This verse has nothing to do with that whatsoever. This word offend, it means that you will not stumble or be caused to ruin, or that you will not fall. So he said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble, or cause them to be ruined, or cause them to fall. So when we look at the problems of music, we're going to take it in light of the Word of God and what the Bible says about it. And if we love the Word of God, we'll not allow these things to come into our life and to cause us to stumble or cause us to fall. The problem with music is that there are many wrong kinds of music. Anything that does not glorify God is the wrong kind of music. If it does not bring honor and glory to God, it is the wrong kind of music. Now, I've broken this out in three categories. We could break it out in many, but there are three categories I believe we could break music into today that is relevant for our day and time. And we're responsible to this generation. I'm not responsible for the sins of the generations to come. I'm responsible to stand against sin that is prevalent in our day. And when the generations to come, these young people growing up, it'll be their responsibility to stand against the sins in their generation. But there are three types of music I believe that you could look at that are in our world today that are wrong. We could talk about contemporary or pop music. We could talk about country music, and we could talk about rock music. Those three types of music in the worldly sense are the three that are prevalent in our day. When you think about contemporary pop type music, you'll see that it is a very seductive music. The music, the vocal performances, and the artists that are performing this type of music, it is a very seductive music. It deals with seduction. And don't go listen to it. Take my word for it. I'm telling you today that our world and our people and young people have been seduced by this contemporary pop style music. When you think about country music, it's more of a sensual music. Not necessarily just about seducing, but it is sensual music. Many people will talk about the awfulness of rock and roll music, but not many people are going to say anything about country. Now, you don't have to agree with what I'm saying, but I'm in the Bible. I believe that country music is nothing more than an audio soap opera that promotes unfaithfulness, it promotes drinking, it promotes living life to self and to man's way. And the Bible said that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
And country music is all about the country boy living it up. Now I'm going to tell you today that divorce rate is over 50%. And I'll guarantee you that over 50% of country songs today that are being written have something to do to allude to divorce or to unfaithfulness. We could talk about lyrics. I'm not bringing those lyrics into the house of God and even talking about them. But that is the type of music that it promotes. Most of the female country singers of our day dress in the attire of a harlot. According to Proverbs chapter 7, that woman had on the attire of a harlot. You need to look those words up and find out what they mean in that Bible. They were showing their nakedness and showing their flesh, and they dressed with the attire of a harlot. And Matthew Henry said that the purity of the heart will express itself in the modesty of the dress. And if that is so, and it is so, then we know that their hearts are defiled and wicked and ungodly, and that type of music will promote nothing more than sensuality in your life. There's some of you here that are sitting here today that know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there, and you know the things it promotes in your mind and the things that you've done while listening to this kind of music. It's a problem. Contemporary music is seductive. Country music is sensual. Rock music is satanic. It's all satanic within itself. I understand that. But in country music, a lot of them, I heard somebody say this, that the roots of country music was Christian. And that country music is headed back to its roots of Christianity because somebody wrote some song about Jesus taking the wheel that has nothing to do with God whatsoever. But they said it's headed back to its roots. It's all satanic. But rock music, they make no bones about who they're for and what they're standing against. 2008, there was a young girl of the age of 13 who hung herself. 13-year-old girl hung herself. And before she had been speaking with her friends about the glamorous hangings that she had seen in a rock music video. And she said, she was talking about how glamorous that it looked. I'm talking about a 13-year-old girl, a girl 1 year older than mine. And she had been allowed to listen to this. She had seen the glamour of them talking about suicide and hanging herself, and ended up through this music that she was listening to fulfilled the glamour that she saw in that and took her own life. Not dealing with depression, not dealing with being abused in the home, none of that. Solely the glamour that she saw and listened to through rock music. One man in the music industry said this, that blues, rock, and country are only a beat apart. What used to be rock is now southern rock. And what used to be southern rock is now country. And what used to be country is now southern gospel. And that is the progression that has taken place in the music industry, if you will. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to take another step. It's a never-ending cycle. We already see it today, the contemporary pop style that is moving in into so-called southern gospel music. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you got contemporary music is seductive. Country music is sensual. Rock music is satanic. Now, let me bring it a little closer to home. And I know we started out through a bunch of Bible verses, and this is a little more close to home, but let's talk about it. The kind of music that's slipping into churches today is what's called Christian contemporary music. And they use that word or that terminology, but it's nothing more than rock and roll, but they try to make it have a little better sound so it can fit in the church. But it's called Christian contemporary music. Now let me say something. The first Christian contemporary song that was ever released and noted as being a Christian contemporary song was the song that was written called "For Those Tears I Died." How many of you ever heard that song? Jesus said, "Come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied." If somebody got up and sang it in our church today, no one would think much about it at all. Other than the fact it's very unscriptural, because Jesus didn't die for tears, he died for the sins of mankind. That was the first song that was ever notarized as a Christian contemporary song. Didn't have a real crazy beat to it. But why it was notarized as that is that the group that was singing it was in the 70s, and they had the hippie look, they had the hippie hairstyle, they had the hippie clothing, and they were notarized as being contemporary or cutting edge or new in the music industry. So it was their look and their attitude that made it what it was, not necessarily the sound of their song. It was their look and their attitude that made their music what it was, considered not necessarily the song and the beat to which they were singing. Let me put it this way. If I brought a wolf in the building today, talking about a big wolf with big teeth, not a tame wolf, a wild one, right? And I brought it up here and put it up here in a cage. And I opened the cage up and got in the door, started reaching my hand in there, started trying to pet that wolf on the head like this. Y'all would say, "That man right there is crazy," wouldn't you? "That guy's crazy. He's got a wolf up there in the house of God and he's petting it on the head. That guy's crazy. What in the world is he doing?" I'm going to tell you something. If I walked up there and to the same cage and opened the door and stuck my hand in there and started petting that wolf on the head, saying, "You're a nice little sheep. You're a pretty sheep. Look at this sheep, y'all." Y'all would say, "That guy is really crazy. He's not just crazy, he's real crazy." That's exactly what we've done in churches across this country. It's not the fact that we don't recognize a wolf, but we pet the wolf on the head and call it a sheep. That's the mess that we're in today. It's not just that wolves has crept in unaware, but the wolf has got us down, pinned down by the shoulders. It's snarling and looking at us and getting ready to take our life, and we're petting it on the head and saying it's a sheep and it's a wolf. It's not that we don't recognize wolves in sheep's clothing. We can't recognize a wolf in his own clothing. You see what I'm saying? So there are problems with music. Let me show you this. Look at this right here. How many of you read a whole lie? How many of you read a lie? Raise your hand. Anybody interested in reading this book right here? You don't know, do you? You can't figure out if you need to read it or not. Listen to this. "Oh, how rich the grace which supplies us so continually, and doth not refrain itself because of our ingratitude." Man, ain't that a good statement? Listen to this. There's several things I can read it. "Never try to live on the old manna, nor seek to find help in Egypt." That's some pretty good advice, ain't it? But you know what? You just look at that, you wouldn't really know that there's that much truth and riches in that book, would you? You know why? Because you can't judge a book by its cover. Look at the cover on that Bible. You know what it's full of. But guess what? You can't judge a book by its cover. Unless you open this thing up and read it, you don't know what's inside of it. And there's great wealth, but there's nothing on this cover that would excite me to read it. So you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can a CD. You can't judge a book by its cover, but you can a CD. That's where we're at. We got CDs that got wolves all across the front of it, and we'll go in and buy them and listen to them and listen to the songs and want to bring them into the house of God and sing them around the people of God and think that God is going to bless it. And God is far from it. I don't care if it says Christian. I don't care if it says God. If they look like wolves and they smell like wolves and they growl like wolves, they're a wolf. Amen. You can't judge a book by its cover, but you can a CD. To be critical means to judge or discriminate with care and precision. And that's exactly what I'm doing this morning. I'm being critical of it. Say, well, don't be critical. I'm critical. I'm judging it with care and precision. Let me give you a Bible verse. This is the Bible now. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now that's the Bible. So all that is bad is bad. And there's nothing good that can come out of that which is corrupt. And there's nothing corrupt that can come out of that which is good. It cannot happen. Cannot take place. Tell you what's happened in our day. Here's what's going on. How many of you remember the story of Balaam and Balak? What took place? We know what happened, that he was wanting Balaam to curse the people of God. And every time that he would do that, he would try to curse God's people. Every time, blessings would come out of his mouth. And I'm telling you, Balak was getting upset. He was getting mad. What in the world's going on? Curse those people. But he said, you know what? I can't curse that which God has blessed. But he said, I'll tell you what I can do. He said, if I can get them to yoke up with the world, I can get them to bring God's cursing upon themselves. And that's what's happened in the music of our churches. We have tried to yoke up with the world. The devil knew it. Hey, the devil couldn't just bring in full-fledged rock and roll groups, put them in an independent Baptist church and get people to buy in on it. They would not have it. But there's churches that stood like this church that will bring contemporary music into their churches and perform it and use it in their worship services. And you know what? The devil can't curse us. But if we sin, there's been a curse that's been promised to be placed upon us. That is what has happened. I talked to several people about this subject. I mean, several people. There's no way I could cover everything, and I don't want to spend. That's why I took one Sunday to deal with the negative, the negative aspect of music. There's so much I could say. I spoke to men. I'm talking about men that are very prominent in the music industry, that are very well known in the music industry, in Christian contemporary. I talked to Southern Baptist pastors. I talked to Southern Baptist worship leaders about knowing good and well the type of music, just to get their thoughts and see what they said. And I was talking to a man. Here's what he told me. This man goes to an independent Baptist church and serves and works in that church. And he made this statement to me. He said, I went with my children to a Christian rap concert, and he said the Holy Ghost was all over that man. And he said that God used that man through Christian lyrics to speak the word to teenagers that would have never came to a church to hear about God. That's what he told me. Here's what he said. He said, you're trying to cut it too narrow. He said, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what he told me. He said, you can't just throw, if it's got good lyrics, but you know, the beat's not like what, quite what you like or what you think is good. If it's got some good stuff to it, you can't just throw it all out and say it's all bad. You can't do that. And you know what my response was to him? I said, oh yes, I can. And I said, I'm going to tell you why I can. The reason why I can is because the bathwater's dirty and it needs to be pitched out. And I said, second of all, the baby is illegitimate. The world and the church have come together and they have created a seed that has formed an illegitimate child in the house of God and is killing our churches today. So I'm saying today, we need to throw the baby out, the bathwater out, get the tub out, get rid of every bit of it, and do what God says in His Word. You can throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's exactly what had happened. The church has committed whoredom with the world. He said, well, it's not all bad. Let me say this. All bad music is poisonous. All bad music is poisonous. Do you know why it is? It's not just the loud guitars. It's not just the erratic beat of the drum. It's not just the bass guitar that's thumping and shaking your entire body as it's being played. It's not just the man in the microphone that looks like the world and acts like the world that's screaming and hollering or rapping or singing sensually. That's not all there is to it. Behind the face of every one of those individuals is the face of the devil himself. That's what we don't realize. We think if it's a little bit good, then it must be okay. If it's got some, you know, there's three or four good songs on here and then three or four really bad ones I usually skip through. It's the devil that is behind it. It is our enemy that we are against. He is the one that is promoting it. And we are the ones that say that we stand against him. Do we really? Do we really? There's so much that I could say. Let me say this. As our pastor has made the statement before, if it's questionable, then it should be out of the question. If you got to ask somebody, hey, you know, what do you think about? You ought to just junk it. If it's questionable, then it should be out of the question. Now, here's the argument that you'll get most of the time. Don't listen to the music, just listen to the words. That's the argument that a lot most people use. Don't listen to the music, just listen to the words. Okay, I got another proposal for you. Forget about the lyrics. Let's lay the lyrics aside and go to Hardinsburg and sit at the red light. Turn your stereo up as loud as it'll go with the kind of music that you listen to, that you say is okay. Let the modern day lost teenager pull up beside you in his car and sit beside you at the red light and turn his radio up as loud as it will go. And if I can't tell no difference between what you're playing and what he is playing, there's a problem. Because the Bible said to abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible said to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. So if what you're listening to and what they're, hey, turn to 90.1 WJCR. and then go to 94.3, the Wolf, and listen to them and see if you listen. Just listen for 20 seconds and see if you can tell me any difference between the two. They sound exactly the same. As a matter of fact, they're playing some of the same songs. I called them one day. I did. I was driving down the road and I flipped on the local Christian station and my daughter's in the car with me and there's a country song being played that I'd heard on a radio walking through work. Now the lady answered the phone and I said, ma'am, I need to speak to a manager. She said, oh, I can probably help you. I said, no, ma'am, I need to speak to a manager. She said, well, just try me. I think I can probably answer your question. I said, okay. Said, I'm driving down the road right now with my daughter. And I'm trying to explain to her why her pastor preaches against country music. And I'm driving down the road and turn on the local Christian station and you're playing country music on your station. She said, sir, you probably need to speak with a manager. I said, that's what I thought. You see what I'm saying? You can't tell that the world's got so churchy and the church has got so worldly. You can't differentiate between the two. We've done that with dress, with music, hairstyles, you name it. What used to be unacceptable is now accepted. And what used to be the exception to the rule is now the rule. And it will continually change. As we get more and more desensitized to that which is evil, and you can get desensitized. I remember this, to my shame. I remember songs that I heard when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, supposed gospel songs, that the first time I heard them, Brother Grubbs, there was something inside that was like, man, boy, that's just a little bit. And I wouldn't think nothing about hearing it today. I probably got a CD in the car that would be close to what it is. Good possibility. Desensitized. People talk about music and kids, the kind of music they listen to. Talks about rape, talks about killing, talks about drugs, talks about perversion, illicit sexual activity, and all types of things, and ungodly sin. They get desensitized to it. That's why young people don't think nothing about taking a life, because they've seen it on TV and heard lyrics about it and heard all kinds of things. Life don't mean nothing to them. They're desensitized. And if you're not careful, you'll be calling that which is profane holy and that which is holy profane. I've heard people speak ill of the old time hymns and old time songs in the songbook. Well, that's that old junk, you know, that's that old music. That's where we're at today. If you're not careful, you'll be petting a wolf on the head. Say, Brother Josh, how do I determine what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad? Or should I say what's holy and what's unholy? Use the Scripture and the Spirit of God. God has given you a Bible to read, to study, and to hear it preached and taught. You can use that. And if the man of God gets up and says, you shouldn't listen to country music, should be no question. He's preaching the Word of God as the man of God. You ain't got to pray about it. Well, God's got to deal with God. God doesn't have to deal with you about it. You got the Bible. And the Spirit of God lives on the inside. And if you're right with God, wanting to walk in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. He, the Spirit of God, has come, and He guides me into all truth. And if I'll take that CD or that song, and I'll throw it up against the Bible, Throw it up against the Spirit of God that dwells in me. It won't take me very long to find out what's holy and what's unholy. Now, if you're saying, well, if God will show to me, I had a man tell me this. He said, I prayed that God, for contemporary Christian contemporary music, he said, I pray, God, show me what's wrong with it, and I'll quit listening to it. And he said, I'm in it. And he said, you know what? He said, God never showed me nothing. And he said, you know why? He said, because I was in darkness and I couldn't see nothing. So he said, you know what I did? He said, finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to junk it and just do what I think, you know, what people have told me is the right thing to do and see God about it. So he said, I got to a place, threw every one of them out. And he said, 2 days later, he said, God turned the light on, showed me exactly what was wrong with it and the error that I was in. Because those that love God come to the light that their deeds might be reproved. And if you'll come to the light and throw that darkness aside, God will show you what's wrong with it. You got the scripture, got the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Now, are there people in here that listen to the wrong kind of music? Yes. There's probably some of these young people listening to country music, probably some adults. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that it's not having an effect on your life, you have lost your mind. Some of the most wicked, ungodly things I've ever done in my life, I've done under the influence of listening to the wrong kind of music. It will affect your life. I'm going to tell you, in this church, and the pastor, we talked about this extensively. We're not bringing contemporary music into this church. There's some things that we have done that we didn't know about, but when we found out for conscience sake, we have dealt with. We're not, that kind of music is not coming in here. Some of them have decent words to them, but they're written by, one man told me, he said, listen to this song, it's great. It's got great words. And a few weeks later, he came back to me and he said, forget that song. He said, I heard the guy giving a testimony about writing it. And he said he was listening to a country song and God began to deal with his heart about those lyrics. Good words. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's wicked. It's ungodly. Has no place in the house of God. So remember that if you would. And this is the only Sunday that we're dealing with this. But I'm telling you, it's where we're at. That music that's progressive is just that. It's progressive. And it will progress more and you'll progress with it. And before you know it, you'll be listening to things you never dreamed you'd listen to. It's progressive. Let's just stick with the old time way. Old time, and there's new songs that are written in the old time way. The old pads. I'm not talking about that it had to be written before 1950 to be a good song. I'm talking about songs that are written today. Brother Keats wrote a few for our choir that are great. They're good songs. They're contemporary, if you will. They're modern. They're new. But they're written in the old time way in a way that's pleasing to God. Uplifts God. God's presence inhabits them. His presence is shown about them. And that's His approval upon them. That's the kind of music that we need in our life.